Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Make it make sense.
So today it's going to be an open line.
You make it make sense.
Obviously there's certain things that I want to say, and then maybe you'll be able to give us some answers, because our favorite friend is not here. So you've taken over.
Yes.
He's very clever. He comes on a Friday, he skips a Monday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, earlier on, I mentioned the passing of the Zambian president. But I think, on top of that, something that I actually also found interesting this past weekend, I think Julius in the past has mentioned that, you know, we need to have open borders. Africans should have
must unite
and you must have free movement. My problem with that is that you can't live in isolation, right?
For sure.
And a country, you do need immigrants,
of course, you know,
people who specialize in certain things.
We all need each other.
Soccer obviously is a good, and I think the professional league, the soccer, is the only one actually that follows the rules. Because, you know, during a game, you can only have a certain number of foreign players, right? Whereas other industries don't do...
Yeah,
4 or 5. Whereas other industries don't care or don't follow suit.
Yeah.
But I also, what I also found interesting was then Julius saying Zimbabweans must go home.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, what do you guys make of it? And I don't know... Are Zimbabweans the only foreigners in the country?
No, of course not.
Because you still have the Nigerians. You still have white people who, I think some of them, slip into the country quietly because they've got financial power. Mm-hmm. You know, when you don't have money, when you're not financially, you're not okay. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you'll end up being with the locals who are also trying to make a living.
It.
And I think that's why there's such a clash between our people and foreigners complaining that they're taking their jobs or they're opening spaza shops. But there's a lot of people here in the suburbs. By virtue of having money, they just slip in quietly. But yeah, I thought what Julius was saying was very interesting. And I don't know if he's contradicting himself or something has changed.
He's definitely contradicting himself from previous statements. Because I remember there was a time, I can't remember if it was a rally or the birthday.
Yeah.
Said, "You are home. Open the fridge. Open the fridge when you get home." So, meaning, you know, when a person is comfortable in your space, they can easily open the fridge, they can easily do that. You see a piece of land, take it.
Mm.
But maybe, and I think everybody's allowed to change their minds, maybe it's also one of those things that, okay, it was beautiful on paper, but practically it's actually not going to work. There needs to be a level of documentation. Maybe he's playing to politics. That this stance is one of the stance that a lot of political analysts have said that it cost him at the national elections. So maybe he's changing his posture, not saying, "Hey, get rid of foreigners," but just saying, "Well, isn't it better if you go rebuild home?" You know, so maybe it's also a political stance, but it's true. Juju changes his mind.
I think it was a soft launch because the EFF has structurally changed with Floyd Shibambu and Buyisen Ndlozi leaving. So maybe it's a soft launch towards the local government elections next year, changing the narrative a little bit. But he's not trying to be like straight up to say, "This is what I'm saying." I don't know. I think so.
Playing politics.
Yeah. But also another thing that got my attention this weekend, as we all know, National Dialogue. I don't know if you guys saw what was happening that came out of there. And myself and Karinda Jagmohan from the news team, we were there. And really, there's very clear divisions in terms of whose voices are being heard at the National Dialogue. Many people, some sectors, we heard, you know, someone speaking about people with disabilities not being represented enough. People from NGOs that protect women and children not being represented enough. So there's a lot of butting of heads, although the organizers are keeping an optimistic face about it. But I think there's something to be said about whether this national dialogue is even going to work. Remember what happened this weekend was the first convention. This is going to be the second convention next year. And then the actual dialogue might happen end of next year or beginning of 2027. So we have a long way to go with the dialogue itself.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I have not commented much about it because I'm that person who doesn't want to criticize up until I see the results. Mm. That's why I'm mum. But my concern has always been about the money. Mm. 700 million is a lot of money.
They say it's not confirmed yet,
Glenn. Yeah, okay. Mm. But yeah, whatever millions they're going to use is still a lot of money.
So the because it's not going to be a million. It has not started.
No, it hasn't.
Oh, okay.
The planning phase. It's still the planning phase.
So, but people seem to be pulling out from the planning phase, right?
Yes, that's what's happening. But they're saying they're committed to the overall, the dialogue, the main one that will happen.
But then my issue with pulling out while they're still planning what they're going to do whenever they decide to do it, and then should the proper dialogue start, and then you're not happy about certain things, and then you complain again.
Or the planning is horrid or whatever.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you know, and then now guys, I really do believe dialogue is something that is important. We can't go on, plan and address any issues without dialogue. Mm. We can't do it. But I do think there's a clip that you guys played over the weekend of a lady who said, I didn't come here for motivational speaking.
Yes.
The president knows what's wrong with the country.
Yeah.
If we are going to dialogue, at least outline solutions.
Mm.
And I hope they really heed that call, where there's going to be a rollout plan of addressing our top five problems in South Africa. Top five problems. And one of the biggest problems which enters everywhere is probably crime.
Mm.
But crime goes hand in hand with poverty.
Mm.
If we don't address the job market that is suffering, we don't address the number star youth unemployment, if we don't address all those things, it really will feel like we are filling water in a bucket that's full of holes. That's what it's going to feel like. It's going to feel like a bottomless pit. So for me, when she said that, the first thing I said, but Mutubwanit, all our leaders, you've said it before, they know there's a problem of beggars with their kids.
Yeah.
They know all
these
problems.
They know the potholes. They know them.
They know them.
Yeah.
So while you dialogue, it's okay, but come up with a rollout plan to say, this is how we're going to combat GBV.
Mm.
This is how we are going to combat Santaco thinking it owns all the passengers of South Africa. This is how we are going to combat 123. Come up with solutions.
So I saw a number the other day. Is it true that really we have 27 million foreigners in the country?
The ones that are accounted for. I think that number is...
The 7 million.
Yeah.
27 million. Yeah, all the 27.
Yes.
All the 27, yeah. But I think these are maybe the documented ones, the ones that are in refugee camps, the ones that we can account for. Because remember, a lot of people go undocumented.
Yes.
So this is a number, the official number that we have, I think.
So do you think...
Could easily be more than that.
Like, what 35 million?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So basically, South Africans, there's about 30 million of us.
Ken, I'm going there, Gucci. And just to show you, Gucci, you're foreigners and the Kasi Gonzagaran, with the clinics, having people locating, but you cannot come get medical help if you don't have
your documents.
Documents. I'm a clinic, yes.
Yeah.
I'm a clinic, I'm a Kasi Gonzagaran.
Yeah.
Who should let this?
Yeah,
like a million law. So say 30 million.
So yeah.
All right.
In case you've not figured it out, that's what we're doing today. Throw topics at us. Let's see. Tell us what you want us to make sense of. And we will jot down some of these topics. And hopefully in the nearest future, we will be able to tackle them, get specialists of those topics. And we are actually able to unpack them for you. 063-688-0959. 086-000-00959. What would you like us to make sense for you?
South Africans right age to retire is 60 something, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
But why is it that a parliament please make it make sense for me there?
I think when Julius Malema was saying Zimbabweans must go home, he was referring to that tender which was given to a Zimbabwean guys. I don't know, let those Zimbabweans buy your credit tender go Zimbabwe. Not like maybe ne are babu elehai what to narela or ne. Let their government give them tender. See.
So I've also raised this, like politicians. I mean, they sit in that office. Some become dictators up until they are 90, but but other people have to, like, even with, like, corporate South Africa, you know, like, I know the, is the CEO of Standard Bank. Mm. He's like 62, 63. He's supposed to step down, you know, when he reaches, I think, 64. Is it 65? I think they've increased it to 65. Like, for me, if you are okay physically, mentally, spiritually, and you can do the job,
why not?
You can carry on working.
But I think also what we need to be fair about is that the retirement age is literally for the working class. Top CEOs of NGOs, some of them are pushing 80. Doesn't matter. So I really do think that the retirement age is for the working class. And maybe because for so long, black people used to do hard labor, they thought by 65, you can't be carrying those machines. Mm. And I think that law is outdated in that regard. That maybe if you're working labor-intensive work, 65 could be the cutoff. But what we do, this does not have an age. And there are people that we work with that are over 65.
Yeah, Udawisin.
Utatlen. Yeah, I mean.
We are late for the news.
I mean, I'm afraid to miss takes. Kwenzeka kanjani ukuthi imoli izakhele indawo include a taxi rank bese ihluleke ukontrola abantu batshele ukuthi aninofisuka le la nisuka khona nizoshaya umthetho la. Why is it so difficult for them ukuthi bakwazi ukuthi bakontrole labantu ukuthi bazi ukuthi le ndawo leya nakuse yabo nabo baplaceiwe laphana as abasebenzi. Please make it make sense for me.
Sure.
What shares do they have abantu bama taxi ema mall? Because having a taxi rank and mall, we see it every time. There is a not even a designated place, a whole taxi rank.
It's a taxi rank.
That means when this mall was built, abantu bama taxi bane say of some sort kuleyo mall.
No, I think what the owners wanted to do was make life easy.
It's for convenience.
People, not for people to
it's
stand out. When you're carrying your groceries, you don't have to go outside them, because that mall is quite big, you know. Then you can easily access taxis.
Yeah, I mean, the convenience is there. I think it's important to include some form of public transport system within a big corporation like a mall or shopping center. But the problem is when you are now acting like you have zero power. That's what I have a problem with.
Mm.
There's no way these malls don't have power. The same way when it was happening at OR Tambo, Aksawa devised the plan. AXA devised the plan. This is not going to happen. Lona, we are going to protect you. The Ubers are now inside OR Tambo, where the Maxi Taxis can't just come and do mfinji mfinji. Are do Uber little bamo? Do Maxi Taxi little bamo? Whoever, it's the client's choice where they go. And when was the last time you heard of nonsense at OR Tambo?
And nothing at all.
All right.
ANC started around 1913, and they know the problems of Africans, and they know what we need. You cannot spend 700 million or half of that, as they claim that is going to be half of that, 400 million. And then you come up to ask us as South Africans, black citizens, that what's the problem? Why are we poor and why others are rich? Come on, from 1913, you know why. So we cannot spend 400 million for that. At least ngaba thathele imali then bayonika abantu base KZN bama flats bakhe izindlu zabo. Maybe bengakhela abantu abayi 70. Ay, it's useless lento dialogue mfethu.
Mina bafethu, please make this make sense. So abotade when they came back from Robben Island then ba kuKhodesa, then ba buya baphatha. Bayithwele kuphi imali yokuthenga izindlu masababusini? Ce ukubuza nje lapho nje. Nama ngangichazela lo
I think it was the government, because especially in the case of Nelson Mandela, because if anything would have happened to Nelson Mandela, we were going to blame the government to say government imbulel.
So, the country would have burned.
Yeah, so what they did was to protect themselves by making sure to Nelson Mandela and Amatai Madea in a safe place. I think.
Yeah,
makes
but
sense. Your logic makes sense.
But I think that's also the reason why there's so many people who are bitter, who also went into exile, you know, for the sake of the country. They lost their family members, but they were not treated the same.
Yeah.
You know, even the veterans. I mean, I remember interviewing a veteran a couple of years ago, and he was in tears, saying, you know, how they fought for the country, they left their families, but the government is not actually looking after them. They're desperate, they're destitute.
Without sounding insensitive, is it not one of those things that will always happen to a lot of people?
Yeah,
that
I think so.
The select few will find some level of glory. But only a select few will, one, be on the spotlight, and two, might even get some form of emancipation. While the rest, you look at political parties, guys, the people that are comfortable are the leaders of the political party. The guy who is on the ground, I make sure people are attending rallies, people are doing that, they're taking care of, you can't even compare.
Doesn't even exist.
You can't even compare it to an SG.
I think the funny
can't
thing
even compare it.
Funny thing is that, speaking about that, you have people who never in their lives, you know, fought for the struggle.
Yeah.
They are the ones who get the biggest tenders.
Absolutely.
And the most comfortable
yes.
people who live in
can,
the north.
Yeah.
Driving G-Wagons.
My champagne.
Yo,
but this life.
I love it.
No balance.
If you can get someone from Humel Settlement, Gauteng, to explain why are they building flats and no one is occupying them? What's the reason for them to build the flats and then no one occupies them? Even Lawa as a Dube, they've been vandalized. What's going on? Because those flats, manje, they are coming, they are becoming I'm a criminal then, man.
You know, Mina, what I don't understand is a person goes missing and then you go report for police station that the person is missing. And then they tell you there must be a turnaround of 48 hours
sure.
before you can report a person missing. I mean, maybe the person missing is closer. I understand. By the time the 48 hours hits, umuntu cross the border. Ba cross the border ngayo. Mina, I really don't, it doesn't make sense for me, the protocol, 48 hours, Siras. Please make it make sense.
Well, for me, with the recent killing of the e-hailing driver, because it means it means I shouldn't have a lift club, it means I shouldn't have passengers, basically. Why are they trying to control the car that I bought? You know, like, I would like taxi drivers to make it make sense.
So, that lady mentioned something very important about, you know, when you report a missing person.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes, if Guyaminos Kumba, yeah, you can understand, if it's 24 hours. But if it's a child, a five-year-old, where can that child possibly go? Your groover for the weekend.
Wasn't that rule overturned? Katlakoya, who yama 24 hours?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like, you remember that there's a thing, Yahore, when you report someone missing.
Yes.
It must have been 24 hours since they are missing.
48 hours.
48 hours.
Yeah, 48 hours.
It doubled now.
2 days.
Yes. You have to wait 48 hours.
How would you get a call? What if
what?
It's a five-year-old? We like a
you need to wait 48 hours.
We are going to kill
five.
Yes.
What?
It's flawed.
I can't
and then, you know, after that, but Loring, we are so hurt. But we condemn the possible strongest terms after 48 hours.
Make it make sense. Make sense.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.